Very good. Not bad for a little two-piece going on today.
We got the old Loxley Bros.
Yeah, the old Loxley Bros. Joey is teaching, preaching at Jolton today, at Jolton First Baptist. Joey and I grew up there together, if you didn't know that. Joey and I grew up together, and we grew up there at that church, which my dad is the pastor of. My dad has been having people come back and preach once a month for a year. This is the last month to actually round out the year of him having people do that. But he's having people that are from there who have gone into ministry, been called to ministry, come back and do this. So a lot of pastors and other friends of ours and things like that. It's been really cool. In fact, I'll be honest, I wish I could have gone and heard some of them, but life is what it is when you're a pastor. Dad, he saved, I guess he saved us for last. I don't know if that's good or bad, but Joey is teaching there today, and so he took Jenna, and that's why Jenna's not here today, and hopefully they won't try to keep them, or at least not her, I couldn't help it, right? It's just too easy. And then I'm teaching there next week. And so he and I are both teaching there this month. So this month he's having two people. And partly because my dad is on a mission trip right now in Kenya, which is like the craziest stinking thing ever. And if you don't know my dad, then you just don't know. You don't understand. But I mean, like when he first told me he was going to Kenya for 2 weeks, I was like, are you going to be okay? And he was like, why not? Why wouldn't I be okay? And I was like, what are you going to eat? You know, I mean, like, he's the pickiest man on the planet, and he still eats what he ate when he was growing up on a farm in Kentucky. So, I mean, it's like, you know, potatoes and, you know, something you caught or, you know, whatever. I mean, he doesn't eat, I mean, you can't get that brother to eat a piece of pizza. You know, I mean, he's not eating or spaghetti or, I mean, the list is long, my friends. Mexican food, forget it. You know, I mean, just like, I mean, it's amazing that I like anything. And obviously I do. But anyway, so that's going on. But we're excited about all that. And it's kind of rounding out, kind of leading up to them. They're about to celebrate next month. They'll be celebrating 100 years. The church, the Jolton First Baptist, will be 100 years old. And Dad will have been the pastor there for 25 years also at the same exact time. And so they're going to be celebrating all that next month and everything. So that's pretty cool. And I may try to dive over there for a little bit of that too, just to kind of be there for him and with them and that kind of thing. But anyway, so you can be praying for Joey this morning as he's teaching. And he and I got in this conversation this week. In fact, all of us, we were in this conversation about what he was talking to me about what he was going to be teaching about today over there. And he was talking about he's going to teach about heritage, you know, and I was telling him, that's a great thing to talk about, especially on a weekend when you've got something like 4th of July, you know, as a part of the same weekend. I told him, he was telling me, he said, you know, I really feel led to talk about heritage. You know, we have heritage there. We came from there. We grew up, you know, there and that kind of thing. And he said, you know, and then of course, heritage within our country and Independence Day. And, you know, there's a lot of heritage to all that. And he said, but, you know, my goal is to basically, you know, talk about heritage and talk about the importance of it and to know what it is, but to also, you know, bring it back around to, but what's more important is the gospel itself. And you know, I told him, man, that's such a great point. That's such a great thing to talk about, you know, this weekend. And at first I started thinking, well, I'm going to talk about it at 24 too. Out of that conversation, we had another, I started thinking about this passage that I'm teaching on today. Actually, I'm teaching like 10 passages today. We're just going to read through scripture, I think, the most part of it. We made it through the first service and came out okay. You know, this passage that I'm teaching about today is this passage that talks about rights. You know, and we have rights, and we like our rights. We love our rights, don't we? I mean, we love our rights, right? You love your rights. You know, I do. And so as a part of that, You know, I got to thinking about this passage because, you know, we will sometimes worship something that's good, like having rights, that's a good thing. But sometimes we get to a point where we worship it, we put it on a pedestal, it becomes more important than the gospel itself, than Jesus himself in our lives. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit today because God's put this on my heart to talk about this morning. And in lieu of everything going on in our world right now, and just kind of, I've been praying and thinking. Of course, we've been teaching through the Building One stuff, but in lieu of all that, you know, I have felt led to this message today. And so we're breaking away from some of the other stuff we've been doing to kind of do this today. And I hope that the Lord uses it in your life. Let me make mention of this real quick because I'm going to forget about it if I don't. If you are just joining in, we've got these little wooden block things here that have like the construction tag on the end of them. They've got the Building One logo. These are down here for you. You can take one. All we ask is we ask that you would commit to pray for 24. You commit to pray for the church. Put it on the dash of your car, your truck, or whatever. I put mine on the dash of my car and my car 4Runner. If you put it right there in the middle, you can't see the mileage, so it helps you to feel better about your car. So there's that. And then also. By the way, you're not just praying for 24. You're not just praying for a building. Please don't just pray for a building. Pray that God is going to continue to use this church to take the gospel to others. And that's what we're talking about that today in a heavy, heavy way today. And but also, this is Building One is not just about building one building. In fact, we're not even just building one building. We're building the ministry center that you've seen the stuff about. The plan is also to build a pavilion out in the front yard that will be a place where we can fellowship. We'll have some storage, hopefully have a playground under roof there that people can use, that we can use to minister to our community and use for things that we want to do together and being together and fellowshipping together as the church. But Building One is actually talking about building up the body, God wanting to build up the body of Christ, that's us, in one body, and that starts with us. It starts with you. So as you're praying about Building One, don't just pray about buildings. Please don't do that. Pray that God will provide and figure all that out. I trust in Him. He's going to do that. He's going to lead us to do it. Then He's going to do it. I'm good with that. Pray that God will do a work in your heart. Pray that God will use you as a part of the body. Pray and begin to ask God to show you how He can use you as a part of what He wants to do for His kingdom. So these things are up here, whatever. And then also I want to make mention of this. These are the little folders that we've given out. And we've talked, sorry, we've talked about all this stuff over the last few weeks. In fact, if you have missed a message in the past few weeks, I'm going to encourage you, don't do this often, I'm going to encourage you, go back and listen to the podcast of any of the weeks that you've missed. I'm just telling you, we've talked about a lot of stuff. If this is your church, you need to hear the stuff that we've talked about over the last several weeks. It's really, really important for where we're going, what God is leading us to do. You need to detail that. As far as the Building One thing, we have a lot of detailed information in these little folders. So make sure that you get one of these. If you don't already have one, they're out there, they're up here, they're on the tables, wherever. Make sure that you get one of these things. And today actually starts when we are starting, I guess you could say, officially starting the little building campaign thing that we're doing. And there's a card in there that says the opportunity, and it talks about, you know, kind of what we're wanting to do. And in fact, part of this, you know, again, it's not just the ministry center thing, it's the pavilion. And it's doing some stuff within the building, some things in kids, to try to make some things better there and use that space better there and that kind of thing, and safer. When you're looking at this thing, there's a thing on the back. This is kind of like our little building campaign deal. And it's a little commitment card thing. We would love for you to take this, and if you haven't already, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, maybe you weren't here. We would love for you to take this and pray and ask God to lead you to how you could be a part of this. And if you could be a part of giving to this, we would love to know what the commitment is. Here's the truth of it. I will never personally know. None of the pastors will ever personally know, you know, like who's committing what or whatever. And nobody, you know, like if you can't make the commitment 1 month or something, nobody's coming after you. Okay, this is only for to be used for a tool for you to pray about what you're feeling led to do. But it's also to just try to help us to gauge where we're going. Because here's the deal: we're not going to just start building a building. Everybody's like, when we breaking ground. Well, we're not going to break ground until we've raised half of the money. We want to pay for this thing. We don't want to go into debt for it. We already have debt on the building. We want to get away from that eventually. But we need to do some things. These things that we're talking about to have some tools for us to continue to do ministry. Again, if you haven't been here the last several weeks, I'm just telling you, you've missed some really important pieces of the puzzle about the vision of where 24 is and where God is leading us as a church and all those things. One of the things that I talked about that's just a little nugget of joy for you is just the growth pattern of what we're seeing with Nashville. And from what I understand, from the statistics that I'm hearing, our city of Nashville, and I know you go, well, I don't live in Nashville, you know, I live up here. It's going to affect you, okay? Like it or not, it's going to affect you. But that one of the main statistics that we're hearing is that our little city of under 1 million people right now, in 10 years, will be 2 million people. So just let that sink in for a minute. So I don't know if you really understand what that really looks like. But imagine everything around you doubling. Everything. Imagine the city by itself doubling. And don't tell me that that's not going to have a huge impact on our community. We know that our little bedroom community has been a little bedroom thing for a long time and, you know, considered to, you know, eventually kind of do the explode thing or whatever. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in that. And so here's our thinking. Here's our thought. That's a lot of people that need Jesus. It's a lot of people that need Jesus. So we need to be preparing for how God is going to use us as a church through that. I believe that part of that is that we're going to send people out and we're going to start new churches. And so we're praying about that. Some of you may be a part of that. Part of that is going to be the people that God's going to bring through the doors here. And that we need to be ready. We need to start being ready. I mean, it's no secret. People are moving here all the stinking time now. You know, we're meeting new people all the time. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready to receive those people as they come in the door, that we would be faithful in ministering to them as God would have us to do so. And so when you're praying about all this stuff and you're looking at this stuff, that's all a part of that. You know, we don't want to just build something just for the sake because we want to build something. I could give a rip about building anything or spending any money on a building. We got plenty of things that we could be spending money on. These are steps and tools we've got to have to be prepared in further pursuing leading people to the gospel, which, again, we're talking about today. So check all that out. If you get a chance, pray over this, fill that out. We talked about the sacrificial giving thing, and that's all in here. You know, just pray about it. This is an above your regular offering thing here with this deal. So check that out. Pray over it if you will. If we're your church, if not, man, we're glad to have you, and maybe God will lead you to be here with us. If you got a Bible, let's go ahead and get it out. We're going to jump into this, and I'm going to try to read through Scripture as fast as I possibly can today. My voice, by the way, thank you for, I've had several of you like check on me this week because of where I've been sick for a couple of weeks, and obviously I have most of my voice back. I don't have all of my voice back. I told the first service that it sounded like, if you need a Bible, let one of the ushers give you a Bible, by the way, and you can keep it if you don't own one. I don't have all my voice back, and that was very apparent when I was singing like the high notes when worship today, because I sounded like I was in sixth grade again, and that was fantastic. So I apologize to everybody in that section over there for having to put up with that. I'm sure it was entertaining, if nothing else. Today we're looking at these passages, looking at a couple of passages that Paul has sent to this church that's in a city called Corinth, and specifically talking about one thing, talking about us being obstacles to the gospel, us being obstacles to the gospel. I've really prayed over this message. This has been a stirring in my heart, And sometimes I really need to personally, like, meditate, pray, let God speak to my heart about something before he's going to let me preach it. Because otherwise, sometimes when I preach something, it could totally come off as Chris's opinion or whatever, and you know, those kinds of things. And I'm thankful that we've needed to talk about the Building One stuff over the last several weeks and some of that stuff. We shared Mark's story last week. If you missed that, by the way, the video, it's like a 12-minute long video. The video of his story is up on our Facebook page. And, of course, you can listen to the podcast to hear. We had him up and to share some of the things that God's done in his life. What an encouraging, amazing thing to get to hear some of those things of what God has done in his life and his family's life. But I've been praying through this stuff, a lot of just what's been going on in our culture, in our world, you know, let's just face it. We live in a crazy time. It's a crazy time. I mean, like every day is something new. And I'm just like, my gosh, you know, it's just crazy how fast and how rapidly things are changing in our world. And in lieu of all of those things, and in some of those things even specifically, I got to thinking about, you know, it's Independence Day weekend again, that conversation I had with Joey and Heritage and, our rights. And I got to thinking about this passage of Scripture. And I got to thinking about what a timely passage this would be for us as believers to go to and seek the Lord and get him to show us and lead us through. If you got your Bible open, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we're starting today. And I'm not going to read some of these in full sections. I'm going to do some jumping around because of the amount of stuff that I want us to look at. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is the first passage that I want to look at. And it says this. I'll just go ahead and start reading. It says, chapter 9, verse 12, 1 Corinthians. It says, if others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Let's just time out right there. We're going to leave this on the screen for a little while, okay? Here's what's going on. Paul, if you read, again, I'm not reading the whole passage. Paul has been talking in this passage about all of these rights that he has, you know, all of these different rights. And again, we love our rights and we love that we have rights. We love that we live in a country where we can supposedly be free and that we can have rights and all those things. Of course, we're always worried about people infringing on our rights and all that kind of stuff. But Paul's talking about his rights and he goes through that passage leading up to verse 12, talking about all kinds of rights. He talks about rights of being able to be married and rights of he gets to talking about rights of how as a minister of the gospel, as a full-time minister of the gospel, that he had the right to be taken care of financially or supported financially by the local church. And he talks about how he doesn't partake of that right. He doesn't partake of all these other rights. And he's listing all these rights. And he's not saying that these rights are wrong. He's not saying that, you know, he's not saying they're bad. He's saying this is what I've been led to do. And I'm not taking a part of these rights. And in fact, when it comes to rights in general, he comes to this, you know, kind of culmination in the passage. He says, nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. In other words, he's saying, my rights are not as important as others receiving the gospel of Jesus. To the point that for him, in some of these circumstances, and he talks about why with some of it he doesn't. So we don't really know on some of it. I mean, some of it we kind of have a pretty good clue. But in general, you know, he's talking about that he doesn't partake of some rights just because he doesn't want himself to be an obstacle for others to get to the gospel. You ever wonder if you're an obstacle for the gospel for other people? You ever wonder about that? We are sometimes. A lot of times we're not meaning to be. In fact, I would say probably most of the time we're not meaning to be an obstacle of the gospel for somebody else, but it happens. If you jump on down, this is such a huge deal to Paul And if there was a key verse of what we're talking about today, it's this verse 12 right here. Rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ, this is the heart from Paul that we're hearing. And in verse 15, it goes down, kind of jumping down there. It says, but I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision, for I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. What's he talking about? He would rather die than be deprived of his ground for boasting. He's talking about boasting in the gospel. He's talking about that he would rather die than any of these rights be something that would keep him from being able to boast in who Jesus Christ is. He's you may think he's crazy. He's not. He's concerned. Because what he's done is he's seen that this is an issue. He wouldn't be writing about it if it wasn't an issue. He wouldn't be writing the church at Corinth if it wasn't an issue. In fact, this isn't the only time he writes this church about it. In fact, we're going to look at another passage in a minute where he writes about it again. But I want us to go down verse 19. Paul uses this, he teaches us something that's very important to us in our faith. And I think something, if you've been around the church for any length of time, you maybe have heard this passage before. If not, this is a great passage and it's very challenging. But it says this in verse 19. Verse 19 says, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law became as one outside of the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. I love that. That I might win those outside of the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. We'll stop there. Paul is showing us his heart. His heart is this, very simply put. He wants other people to know Jesus. He wants other people to know Jesus to the point that he's willing to try to be all things to all people. That's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to do. It is hard to put yourself in a place where people, where you can identify with other people. And I mean, it takes time. Let's just face it. If we're talking about like really investing in the lives of other people, let's say God puts somebody in your path, and I know that he has, because you're living and breathing and you're still here. And this is your mission, by the way, if you didn't know. If you've got people that God puts in your life that maybe aren't quite like you, but they're there, well, to be able to reach them with the gospel means that you're probably going to have to do some serious investment in their lives. You go, I don't even know where that begins. What it begins with any other kind of relationship that you invest in. You got time, you know. You might even have money. Who knows? You may take them to lunch. You may hang out. Maybe somebody that you work with. At first you thought you couldn't stand them, but you know what? God put them there for a reason. He says, to the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that I, by all means, I might save some. I know he says I, but he's talking about allowing God to use him as a tool for the gospel. And he's so concerned about all this that he's talking about it in an understanding, and he's teaching it in an understanding that we would recognize that at times we become obstacles for the gospel. Paul goes on in verse 24 and he shares this passage, and I love this passage. How can you not love this passage? It's amazing. Verse 24, it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. He's talking about us, by the way. Okay, he's talking about that we can do this too. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. I love that he uses a boxing illustration because I love boxing. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. That's what we don't want to be disqualified, do we? We don't want to mess up any opportunity that we might have to lead someone else to the gospel. The gospel is what changes. Chris, you keep using this word, the gospel. I don't even know what the gospel means. The good news. This is the gospel. The good news that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. That even despite the fact that while we were still sinners, while we were still rebellious and turning our backs and running the other way from God, He said, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to show grace. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to give Him to you, and I'm going to let you kill Him. And in His blood, and only in His blood, can the weight of the world's sins be put on His shoulders, and we be forgiven of sin. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Paul is wanting us to see that part of this is work. Runners run. Self-control. They don't run aimlessly. They don't box as one beating the air. But every athlete exercises self-control in all things. And that's a part of it for us. That's a part of it for us. And that means for us being honest about our sin. And we're going to talk about sin a decent amount today. And when we think about our sin, you know, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to think about everybody else's sin. You know, we talk about sin, you know, as soon as we start reading something about a sin, a lot of times we start thinking about somebody else and their sin, you know. Today, I want to encourage you to examine your heart. Paul talks about that. Paul set aside his rights because he was most concerned with not being an obstacle of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is out of the second letter that Paul sent to the church at Corinth. And in this letter, he talks about some similar things. He says this in verse 1. He says, working together with Him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What Paul is talking about here, when he's talking about don't receive the grace of God in vain. And he's talking about that we wouldn't take God's grace and then trample on it by continuing to sin. Now you're sitting here and you're going, Chris, I'm a sinner. I can't get past it. I'm going to sin. I know I'm going to sin. I know I'm going to let God. I know I'm going to break God's heart with my sin. I know that that's going to happen from time to time. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. You are exactly right. And to the grace of God, the blood of Jesus is not just good for the sin of your past, but it is good for the sin of tomorrow. But there's a thought process to this. Lifestyle sin. Let's talk about lifestyle sin. Sin that we become really acquainted with a lot of times becomes our lifestyle sin. You know, and a lot of times when you say lifestyle sin, people say, well, that's a situation where somebody is living in sin. We know that they have come to a place in their life where they are literally okaying the sin that is in their life to the point that they've made it a pet, you know? And you got like this little, like, here's this little sin, we love it, we're going to pet it, you know? And so, like, you know, nobody else knows about it, but we got it, right? And we got it, and we're like, got it. And then people come around, and we're like, oh, I'm going to put my sin back here. you know, and I'm going to hide it, right? And then everybody thinks that we've got it all together. Guess what? We know you don't, okay? We know you don't have it together because we know you're a sinner. I know that you know that I don't have it together. I'm okay with that, all right? And that's by the grace of God that I can be okay with that. But what happens is we pick and choose the things that we want God to let God really work on us about. And so we got these little sins, right? And we love them. And it's like, you know, it's not really that bad. It's not really bad that I have this sin that I kind of keep going back to in my life. It's really not that bad. That's a lie. And that lie comes from the pit of hell. Because sin, 100% of the time, I don't care whether you think it's going to do anything to you or not, 100% of the time is causing destruction in your life. That's why God doesn't want us to sin. It's not that he's playing some na-na-na-boo-boo game where it's like, you can't do that. You know, no, he loves us. He cares for us. He's our Father. He doesn't want us to sin because he doesn't want it to destroy us. And he knows that it will. So when Paul says, do not receive the grace of God in vain, and he's saying that verse 2, he's basically saying, step up. Today is the day of your salvation. Let God be victorious over that in your life. That's the greatest news ever. I don't know if you realize it or not. The greatest news ever is that the blood of Jesus is good enough to cover all sin, okay? To cover all sin, and even so, knowing that not only does it cover it, but it frees us. He frees us from sin. Scripture says we're no longer slaves to it. It doesn't have a control over us. And we think that it does. You know, and Satan wants us to buy into the thinking that it does. Like, oh, that sin, you know, I'll never get rid of it. It's going to control me forever. It might always be a part of your life, but it does not control you. If you've been saved by Jesus, it does not control you. You have been freed from it. That's an amazing thing. It's like the most encouraging thing that we could ever hear. I hope that you see that. I hope you see like God's grace and his mercy like coming at you. I mean, just like big time with freedom. There's some freedom for you right there. Verse 3 in this passage in 2 Corinthians 6, it says this. And this is Paul again kind of reiterating what he talked about in his first letter. But it says, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. So Paul's coming back to this now. He's revisiting something he's already talked to them about. Apparently it's that big of a deal. It's God's working on his heart to share it and to talk about it again. And he says in verse 4, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And here, folks, in lies a list that Paul gives us. Okay, and before we get into this, I'm not sharing this list with you so that you feel beat down. Okay, I share this list with you that you might be encouraged, because some of the things that we're going to read in this list, you're going to go, man, I'm there. Or I was there last week, or I think I'm going to be there tomorrow, or you know, whatever it is. And I want to encourage you that this is part of the ride, okay? But it's okay. It's okay, and I'm going to talk about why it's okay here in just a minute. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, and it says this, by great endurance, and I'm just going to read through these. I'm not going to talk about them. In afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments. And by the way, Paul knew all about imprisonment and prison and was killed there. Riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. Some of you probably feel that at times. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. I love that. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own afflictions. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. Paul was so concerned with he himself and with us as believers not becoming obstacles for the gospel. So concerned. And then he gives us all this. He gives us this, like, this is what it may look like for you kind of thing. Which some of that we're kind of like, yeah, I could do without the imprisonment, and I could do without the beatings, and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. And you know, will that happen? It might. This is a crazy day and age we live in. It's a crazy day and age that we live in. I see a lot of believers, and I myself have many times been obstacles for the gospel. And in a day and age like today, 2015, July the 5th, in a day and age like today, it is really easy. It might be easier than ever for us to become obstacles for the gospel, for other people to get to the gospel. And you go, Chris, how is that? We live in a day and age where technology is at such a place, and obviously social media is what it is. And it's changed culture. Whether we like it or not, it's changed culture. The news people can't keep up with what social media keeps up with. You know, I laugh. I've gotten to where I laugh quite a bit because I'll see something on social media and then I'll see the news reported a few hours later. I'm like, thanks, guys. We're good with that. We already know. You know, but you know, they got a time slot and social media is going all the time, and something that happens the other side of the world can be known about literally within seconds of it being posted the other side of the world. Furthermore, what's happening is that people are braver sitting behind a keyboard and will share whatever they want to share. You know, you go back to rights. This is part of what I was thinking about with the rights. You know, we have the right to be able to speak our mind. Freedom of speech, right? For the most part, right? And in this day and age, you know, we come across people that, you know, don't agree with us or have a different view of opinion or whatever. And quite frankly, it might be the subject over something that is or isn't a sin. And we've seen that. Man, have we seen that ever since this deal with the Supreme Court just in the last couple of weeks. And I've had all kinds of people ask me, well, Chris, what do you think about it? You know, what's the world coming to? And I look at them and I say, what is the world? I mean, should we be surprised? No, I don't think so. Our nation isn't run by people that are in love with Jesus. I'm not surprised at that. But furthermore, probably most concerning to me is that we as believers have become to be known for what we are against instead of what we are for. And say, well, Chris, you know, we got to call out sin for sin. The truth will do that. We've got to lead people to the gospel first. And if we spend all of our time, you know, ranting and raving about whoever is wrong, then guess what we're doing? We're becoming obstacles for the gospel. We've been called love. We've been called to care. And quickly, we are becoming known as a people. And I know this doesn't apply to everybody. I know a lot of our folks here at 24, like, they're right here with what I'm talking about. And I get that. But we are becoming known. Christians are becoming known for a people of what they are against instead of who they are for. I want to be known for Jesus. God can do the judging. Okay? You say, well, Chris, what about truth? You know we're going to preach the truth. We've never not preached the truth here. And the day that we do, we better close the doors and go do something else. But there's a time, there's a place for those conversations as God opens those opportunities for the real conversations to be had with people about that kind of stuff. We're not called to go into the world. The world already knows. But if we're not careful, we get behind a keyboard and we start putting those things out there in a way that does not come with grace. You know what we're called to? We're called to grace and truth together. I'm going to give you a couple passages. You can write them down. You can look at them later. I encourage you to look at them later. Matthew 7, one of those passages, where we see Jesus himself talk about judging others. Again, I know you're thinking, well, Chris, sin is sin, and we got to confront sin. Do we? Is that our job, that we're confronting sin? When did we become the sin police? I would like to know. Because the only moments in Scripture where we are to go to a brother or a sister about sin, and things like when they've sinned against us and things like that, is in just what I said. A brother or a sister. Do you know what that means? That means within us. That means us as a body. Like if my brother sins against me, I need to go to him. I need to talk to him about it. That's within us. And if you want that, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, I'm jumping way ahead here. Matthew 18. Let's read it. Matthew 18, verse 15. One verse. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. You know what won't work in that scenario? Let's leave that up there. You know what won't work in that scenario? Is if my brother sins against me and then I go post about it on Twitter and go, hey, bro. And tag him. You're like, hey, what's up with you sinning against me? Dude, that's not biblical. If your brother sins against you, go to him and tell his fault between you and him alone. There's further instruction given, by the way. If this doesn't work out, you can read the passage for yourself to continue on right there. But you start to get the picture here, you know? You know, Chris, what about my beliefs? What about the truth? Yes, there will be times when we get to share the truth. But if we are doing it out of just being right, we are in sin. If we share truth just about being, because we just want to be right, and we want to go through all of our friends' list, and we want them all to know I'm right. Here's my scriptures with where I'm right. That, my friends, is pride. And Satan is loving every minute of it. Because where our good intentions with maybe wanting people to really understand Scripture, and by the way, if you really have that as a good intention, you'll have a real conversation with people about that, not some hide behind the keyboard deal, because let's just face it, that ain't working. God's going to put people in your life and in my life that are nothing like us, and we've got to determine, how can I not be an obstacle for the gospel for that person? How can they find Jesus? It's going to come with how we love, with how we care, with how we invest in their lives. And it's got to look different than what we've been seeing. This is our calling. This is our calling. All things to all people. This is our calling. This is what our life is about. One day we're going to get to the hole in the ground or whatever it is. And between now and then, this is what our life is supposed to be about. 2 million people in 10 years. You know what that means to me? It means a whole bunch of people that need Jesus. It means a whole bunch of people that God is bringing to us and saying, be faithful with these people. Lead them to me. show them what my love looks like. And then one day, what's going to happen? Some of you have had these kind of conversations with people, and it may have been over whatever sin. Pick your flavor. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's somebody that's a liar, somebody that's a cheat, somebody that's a fornicator of any kind, living with people that you're not married with, they're gay or whatever it is. I don't care what it is. It's not about us picking out people's sins and going to beat up on them about it. It is about us having real relationships with those people so that when we love them through those things, that one day they wake up and go, if you believe this, why do you seem to be my friend? Why do you care? Why do you love me? And then we're able to say, because that's what Jesus did for me. Because if at any point throughout the whole thing we begin to separate ourselves from anybody else and say, oh, their sin's worse than mine, whatever, it's while we were all still sinners that Christ died for us. You say, well, Chris, there's a difference in a lifestyle sin where we accept a sin and it's a part of our life and we've made it our lifestyle, whatever. I'm with you. There is a difference. You're right. It's what Paul was talking about. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. But let me tell you, folks, we have lifestyle sins too. And we've got these little things that we've made our pets and we're just petting them and we love them. And, oh, let me tell you something. Paul very clearly says, and I'm not reading it, but you can go look at it, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul very clearly says, you got to examine your own heart. We got to start with us. We've got to start with examining our own sin, being real with God about where we are right now with the sin in our lives, that we would allow Him to overcome it. Here's the difference. Here's the difference in a lifestyle sin and the kind of sin that we know we're pursuing Jesus over. Confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. We're called to confess our sin. You say, well, Chris, I'm sitting here, I'm worried. You know, man, I've got this sin in my life. Well, I'd be worried about you if you weren't worried about it. Okay? That's a good sign. That means there's conviction in your heart. That means the Holy Spirit's still working on you. And he's still doing a thing in your heart. And he's trying to lead you to a place to where not only will you be convicted over it, but that you'll confess it. We're like, wait a minute. What's that mean? I just tell it to God? That's step one. Step two is that we would confess it to one another. There's this amazing thing, and you're like, oh man, this sounds messy. You're right, it is, and I love it. There's this amazing thing that happens when we take our little pet sin and we get it out of the closet and we bring it and we put it in the light and we confess it to one another and we say, here's what I'm struggling with. Something amazing happens in our hearts. Number one, it's no longer a secret. Number two, we're not battling it alone anymore. We have people that are praying for us. I mean, obviously, you're probably not going to go confess this just maybe, you know, over here at the Japanese restaurant just for the heck of it after service or something. But now this is why we need the church. This is part of why we are called to be a part of a body that He wants to build up one church for His glory, for His kingdom. That's why we're called to be a part of it. We need each other. We're called to each other. We're called to minister to one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And when I get together with my guys at my micro church, our micro church meets at our house on Sunday nights, I can tell. I can tell when we get together, one guy's like, hey, how you doing? I'm good. Oh, I can tell. When that's a lie. We're like, liar, what's going on? And then we share. We share with one another. And then we pray for one another. We need that. I need that. There's a reason that God set it up this way, that we wouldn't go this alone. And I know we're too busy. Guess what? You're too busy. Cut out some of the busy. I work all the time too. You know what? I'm too busy. We've got to make time for the things that we know spiritually we need to be able to do the very thing that we were created for in this world. We weren't created to work our lives away. We were created for the glory of God. We were created that others would know Jesus because they know us. If our lives don't match that, we should make some changes. I say we should make some changes. Our being right isn't always us being godly. Our being right isn't always us being godly. Because if we're going after telling people the truth because we want everybody to know that we're right, guess what? That's pride and that's a sin. Don't let Satan get that foothold in your life. Don't be an obstacle to the gospel. It's hard not to fall into it. I understand. I understand it's hard. Hebrews 10, verse 26 says this. It says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." You know what that means? It means that if we are continuing to pursue sin in our life, if our hearts are not broken over sin in our life, the pet, okay? Or maybe it's not even a pet. Maybe everybody knows. Whatever. I don't know. I don't care. Jesus died for them all. The concern here is that with this verse, this passage, we have this understanding that it could be a leading to us understanding that maybe we don't know the Lord. If we're not broken over our sin, the truth is that we may not know Christ. And so there comes this question that we have to be honest with ourselves about and say, am I hanging my salvation on the hat of being a good person or being nice or just going to church a lot or growing up in the church or my dad was a preacher or whatever the thing is, pick your flavor. Or is it because I've received Jesus as my Savior and He has saved me? Because if He has saved you, then your heart will break over your sin. Your heart will break over your sin, and it should. There should be conviction. Just make sure that you follow through. Confess it. Repent of it. God wants to do that work in your heart. And at the end of the day, He wants to do all this, and this is why Paul was so concerned with the whole thing. When you get down to it, is this verse that I've been sharing on and off throughout the year of 2015 so far, and it's from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul didn't want to be a stumbling block because of this. Remember him talking about the boasting? Galatians 6:14 says this. It says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." I know you guys don't want to be obstacles for the gospel, and I don't either. I especially don't want to when I realize that if my sin and my life is getting in the way, then my boasting in the cross could be deemed to be worthless. And I don't want that to happen. Because people need Jesus. Just like I got to receive Jesus, there's so many other people that need Jesus. People that we work with, people that we live with, people that we party with, play games with, whatever, live next door to. They need Jesus. We're here for that. We're here for that. That's our mission. That's our mission. And you go, Chris, I'm not the best with words. Listen, you'll preach Jesus a lot by how you live your life and you care for others. Especially if they're not like you. It's easy to like people like us, right? God wants to use us, and sometimes it's really just about us getting out of the way and letting Him work through us. That's hard to do, isn't it? Because we love our opinions, and we love being right, and all that kind of stuff, and at the end of the day, you know what? Sometimes being right isn't the most godliest thing. We don't have to have it all figured out. He already does. The main thing is we've just got to see that we're called not to be obstacles for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This world is going to continue to get crazier and crazier. And I'm just at a point that I don't know that there's anything that's really going to shock me. I don't know. Just is what it is. Let me encourage you with this. Be encouraged with this. It's okay. Well, somebody's car alarm's going off. Hopefully they're not stealing it. There's some encouragement for you right there, huh? Be encouraged with this. No matter what happens in this world, including that car alarm going off, God's still sitting on His throne. God's still sitting on His throne. And He is still Lord over all. And Jesus is still coming back. And this is temporary. And I know that's hard for us to comprehend on days when we're really busy and we got these 10 things that got to happen and we're really hoping this one thing goes through or whatever it is. You know, and nothing wrong with that stuff. But God's still sitting on His throne. And He's our King. And He cares for us and He loves us. You know, and we may go through suffering. We may. Paul gave it to us. I gave it to you. That doesn't sound like much of a Cinderella story, does it? Like, hey, become a Christian and everything's going to be fine. Well, you know what? Suffering's part of it. Beatings, imprisonment. Who's game, right? Let's go for that. That's not normally what we're thinking, right? Whatever happens, it's all in His hands. Let's trust in Him. You may be sitting here today and you may be saying, you know, I've never trusted in Jesus to be my Savior. I've hung my hat on some of these other things. I want you to know God loves you and He wants to save you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to make you a new creation. And He can and He will if you'll let Him. And if you want to talk about that, we'll be here after the service. I'd love to talk with you about that. I want you to know, and I think this goes without saying, but I want you to know this. 24 Church is a place where we're not interested in casting judgment. We want to care and love for you no matter where you're coming from in life. We love you and we care for you. Jesus did that for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. It doesn't matter whether you do or not to us because He's done it for us and He's instructed us to do it for others. And the truth is one of the most amazing things happens when a church does that. And we want to do that for you. We do care for you. We do love you. Let's pray together.